Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together. Now, filmmaker and producer Dennis Dwyer was on this show in February along with his father Dermot, a well-known businessman and founder of the Caroline Foundation. Dennis and Dermot had just co-authored a book about their travels in the Levant called Desert Bonds. But unbeknown to me, the morning we recorded that interview, Dennis had just got news that nobody wants to hear. Dennis Dwyer is with me now. Dennis, good morning to you.
Dhiúigh, Miriam. Thank you for having me.
Ian Thugger, Fod. Listen, bring me back to that morning in February. You were 44. You were in brilliant health, running marathons. And what news did you get?
Well, we were coming in here to record an interview with you about our book, Desert Bonds. And I got the call from the urology consultant, Mr. Michael Murphy from The Beacon, at 9 a.m. to tell me that I have cancer in my prostate. So we had a chat about the various potential courses of action and said we'd have a meeting in a week or two after that. So I left my house and that phone call and I felt quite frozen. Now, it was a cold February day, so it was cold outside, but I was mentally frozen. I got in here and was trying to process it all. And then we had the chance to meet you. And sure, look, you draw enthusiasm out of a stone. So it was a great change of headspace and a distraction. But prior to that, so how it came about, I guess, Miriam, was like I wouldn't have been thinking too much about my health in terms of what might have been wrong. I'd have been thinking of my health in terms of how to stay well, in terms of fitness and diet and sleep and these sorts of things. But it was my dad in December 2024 who bought me a health checkup as a Christmas present. And I was like, oh, Jesus. But as it turned out, whether he got a nudge from the ether, from my sister Caroline, or whether it was his own prudence, it turned out to be the best present ever. So the health check itself, you know, was things like blood pressure. It was a urine sample. It was a PSA test, which is prostate-specific antigen. There was lung function and there was BMI. And it was the PSA test, obviously, that came up as elevated. Now, it was funny because a few minutes before I'd met the nurse and she'd come back and told me that my BMI score said that I had a metabolic age of 28. And so I was thinking, Jesus, I'm going to put that in my Tinder profile. And then 5 minutes later, I'm with the doctor and the doctor's telling me this could be the start of a very difficult journey. So look, yeah, there's shock and numbness. And, you know, I'm conscious that most people listening have been through their own health challenges, you know, and mine is just one experience and one perspective. But in the days and weeks after that, and then leading up to the biopsy and then getting the results, I suppose for me it was about trying to find a mindset that would allow me to heal well or to deal mentally with the challenge that however that was going to come to be. You know, and it was trying to find the positives. And one of the positives was, I suppose, access to very good healthcare, you know. And once you're in the system and having procedures done, I had a procedure in January to widen my peeing channel so I could clear my bladder properly. You know, things that would have seemed so foreign to me, like self-catheterizing every day, you know, within a few days, they become as routine as brushing your teeth, you know. And then you meet the nurses and the doctors, Miriam, and, you know, over the course of, you know, 11 months, I've been treated by and cared for by nurses and doctors from every single continent. And it really is a miracle of teamwork and cooperation. So I feel very blessed and grateful here today.
So listen, when the consultant told you that surgery was necessary that moment, how difficult was that? What were the risks he listed out? And what was the surgery? And it obviously went well.
So in February, they decided they were going to monitor it because it was low-grade cancer. And many men can live with prostate cancer without it ever developing into something more serious, right? So I took that as good news. In the weeks and months after that, you know, the sports psychology motto of control the controllables. And I was trying to eat as well as possible, you know, no sausages and rashers, cut down on sugar. you know, watch the amount I drank. And, you know, we walked a week on the Camino as well. I prayed to every saint as we passed, you know, and you hope and you wish that it will go away. It didn't limit my life at all. And then the follow-up tests then were in August. So I had another PSA test and an MRI. The PSA had increased from 19.8 to 25. So a normal person's PSA should be around 4 or 5. Anything significantly higher than that can lead to potential possibility of cancer. So when it was 25, I thought, you know, there's a good chance here. But obviously, the only thing that really shows is the biopsy. So I had the biopsy in late September. And, you know, I suppose I was mentally prepared then. Because of the PSA, that there was a chance it would have developed. So Mr. Murphy, Dad was great. He came to all the appointments with me and we sat there and we were told that it had grown and spread, and we were going to look at either surgery to remove the prostate or radiation therapy. So then, you know, a week or so after that, met with Mr. Aaron Thomas in Tala Hospital. And, you know, he spoke about the benefits of surgery for someone of my age. And, you know, as I've been telling people, one of the great things about being told you have cancer at 44 is that everybody tells you you're so young, you know, and there's not many other fields of human life at my age that people are telling me I'm young. But he said at my age, you know, to have surgery is probably the most beneficial course of action. Now, then he talked me through the diagram. You know, these are where all the bits connect to each other. And, you know, he told me we'll be removing your seminal vesicles, you know, and that's what produces semen. I hadn't actually realised that. And then, you know, he said there's this percentage risk of complications around sexual function and around incontinence. So I had been managing my mind fairly well through the months, you know, but on the car journey home from Tala, I cried my eyes out, you know, to think what this might mean for me as a man, you know, and trying to tease all that out in my head. And it was okay to be sad. But then, you know, as the days after that, it was kind of like saying to friends, well, you know, like Andy Farrell, I welcome adversity. And here's an opportunity for personal growth, you know. And I wanted to see it in those terms, yeah. And to have the perspective that there's far more serious things going on in the world than my erections. And, you know, like what's happening to people in Ukraine or Gaza, you know, it makes things relative what was happening in my life. And So we got ready to go for the surgery, which happened on the 24th of November, and in the Beacon as well. And you know, the day of the operation, like people, again, nurses are just so good at helping you calm down. You know, I'd have had access to people over the years who'd have helped show me breathing exercises, you know, and just trying to calm the nervous system. I found that helpful. And then, you know, I get walked down to the theatre, you know, I'm not going to pretend I wasn't nervous. Walk in, meet the surgeon, and then they, you know, he was very warm and friendly, and you know, I get laid down, get the oxygen put over my thing, and I said I do enjoy a visit to the theatre, and that got a laugh, and that helped me calm down a bit, and then I was knocked out, you know. And the next thing I remember was Mr. Aaron Thomas came up to me as I was awake and shook my hand and said, successful surgery, and we've managed to spare the nerves, which, you know, again, for things like sexual function is is a great relief, you know. Yeah. And he wouldn't have known until he got in to do the surgery, you know.
I was
thrilled. And then in the days after at Miriam, you know, you get visits from family and friends, so much goodwill. And I had a lovely fella beside me in the hospital. We had great chats, you know, nice bit of camaraderie and meeting people in the halls. And you know, get home and people have left so many care packages, you know. So I've enough soup and cake and prune juice to start a stall at home. Ever since, I just feel hugely relieved. And I suppose, like, the thing that stands out to me is like how clean and precise these procedures are nowadays, compared to what they used to be. You know, it was it was said to me that the prostatectomy used to be very agricultural, and now it's, you know, super efficient. And I feel blessed. So it's a great time to be alive. And I suppose what I'd like to get across is that, you know, I think people shouldn't fear being in hospitals and getting things done nowadays, because it's so, you know, it's only 100 or 200 years since, you know, biting down on a stick was the best form of pain relief. And now we just have access to, you know, modern miracles. You know, when Dad had his triple bypass 40 years ago, it was a major, major procedure that took him, you know, 8 months to recover from. And he, you know, had to make huge adjustments in his life. He had to learn meditation, walking. They said he might only have 10 years to live. Now he's 79 and he's out there and, you know, he's stronger than ever. And, you know, when he was 70, he started personal training after we lost our sister Caroline. And, you know, within 3 years, he was climbing one of the Alps on a glacier in crampons. And he's a great inspiration to me.
He's amazing. Now, listen, I know also you want to get the messages we closed on out to men, to know the signs, to think about testing. It's worked in the end brilliantly for you. And it's important to say it's rare enough at your age, but you still want to get the message out there, don't you, Dan?
Thanks, Miriam. I'd love to get across that, you know, for people to think about being proactive about their health, right? You know, health checkups. Look, first of all, you can call your GP tomorrow, book an appointment. There's a number of things a GP can do, but also a rigorous health check, which, you know, involves lung function and blood pressure and PSA, etc. They can be booked from €150. So maybe think about for yourself or for the loved ones in your life. You know, this experience, I suppose, is... It's made me very grateful. You know, I'm conscious that I'm very lucky, and I feel that. And, you know, as you say, only less than one out of 100 cases of prostate cancer diagnosed in Ireland are for men under 50. So it is very unlikely for people. But it's about thinking proactively about your health. What we do in our 40s can determine what we can do in our 60s, 70s and beyond. You know, so whether it's doing that exercise regime or thinking about diet or whatever it might be in your life. And look, I suppose, like as somebody said to me, if you'd own a car, you don't wait for it to break down. You know, you'd get it serviced every year. And, you know, just to say thank you, Dad. You're a lifesaver and I love you. So really appreciate it. And then, you know, finally, just to say, to get further information, the Marie Keating Foundation website is fabulous if you'd like to get more information there. And just to say again, we are just so lucky, and listening to Colin McCann there talk about his remarkable book, A Paragon, and what's happening to people in the Middle East and in Gaza, you know, it does put things in perspective.
Well, Dennis,
Free Palestine.
Dwyer, thank you so much for coming in to me today. You look fantastic. I'm so delighted it turned out so well, and it's such
thank
an
you.
Important message.
And can I just say, I'm reading your book. It's a great read, and I'd recommend it to anybody as a Christmas present.
Okay. It's live, so I can't cut that out. Dennis, thank you so much for coming in today.